Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today we are very pleased to welcome Sakura Reese to the show. Welcome, Sakura.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on, Sak. But with each of our guests, we always ask the same question. What's God been highlighting to you recently? So what's God been teaching you, Sak?
A lot of things. I don't know where to start, but I'm going to pick one. I would say God has been really doing a redesign in my mind, in my emotions, and how I feel about myself. I can give it a title. I can call it reframing. I don't know. You know how sometimes pastors will give it a title to their sermon. This is not a sermon, by the way.
I like that title, though, reframing.
Reframing, yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people have been talking about the pandemic and, you know, how God has been stirring in their life during that time. For me, it was, you know, a lot of things. You know, there were a lot of unhappy moments, you know, with just the struggle of getting through the pandemic and then, you know, family life and personal. And then work, you know, that was a big thing, too. But really it kind of all started off when, you know, when my husband Scott and I were being counseled and, we were trying to share our emotions to one another, like, Scott, how are you feeling? And he just had a list of emotions that he was able to list out. Whereas I didn't, like, I just had maybe one or two that I could name. And that to me was kind of, you know, like, okay, why is it that way? Like, why can't I express the way I'm feeling? And, you know, I think a lot has to do with my upbringing, you know, very traditional Japanese family. And, you know, my feelings kind of get set aside so that we can get the task done. So a lot of that kind of just got ignored. And so I have part of that, you know, past hurt that, you know, I was kind of dealing with still. And so I guess the journey kind of started there. And, okay, like, okay, where is God going to take me from here is, you know, kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. So, where do you feel like God has been taking you from there? You went from this place of not being able to express your emotions, not even being able to probably even consider what those mean.
Yeah.
Right. And then how are you feeling and being able to verbalize that? And so how has God been leading you recently in terms of being able to address and even consider what are you feeling?
I think for many people and for myself personally, it's just I'm able to dress the exterior side of myself. You know, like I can on a dime, you know, shift how I may appear in front of someone else. You know, I can share how I'm feeling, but not really feeling that on the inside. Compared to what I'm really feeling on the inside.
Yeah.
To be able to be honest with my feeling was just a really hard thing to do. And I feel like, you know, during the pandemic, you know, there was a time when, you know, my husband had just lost or he got laid off from his work and we were scrambling to find a job. And, you know, I think it was, that was me being honest during interviews was probably a test. You know, God will sometimes test you, right?
Yeah.
See, you know, not because he doesn't think you can do it, but knowing that, you know, God trusts us that we can handle this, but processing those feelings was part of the journey. And so I feel like, you know, like I can try to achieve what I want. Like if I have a goal in front of me, like I can try to achieve that. But without the process, that's going to be really hard to do. And so processing how I go about doing that was kind of the journey. You know, I think I went on about 5 or 6 different interviews. And each time, you know, it's all based on performance, really. You're putting your best self out there.
Yeah.
And you're, you're highlighting the things that are good and valuable about you. You're, you know, you've got bullet points of what you want to talk about, but then, you know, the nerves, you know, the anxiety behind it was just too big for me to handle. And every time I step into that Zoom interview, I just was an emotional wreck. My voice was, you know, like just crackling, and it was just shaking. And all I really wanted to do was just express myself and just be able to be honest with my feelings. And, you know, sometimes interviews, you're not always talking about work. You're talking about things like, what do you like to do? And, you know, like, tell me something about yourself. And it's like, I have those long pause, like, you know, and then I'm just not sure about myself. And that to me was always, okay, why is that? You know? And so God has been kind of pulling that out of me, taking me out of my comfort zone, literally. And then just trusting God that, you know, he's going to reveal something about you. And it's just a matter of me, you know, sitting still, asking God, you know, what he's trying to reveal in me.
Yeah. That's an awesome place to be, where you're able to really see the big picture of what God's doing, and not just being in so ingrained in what you're actually doing right now, but being able to take a step back and say, God, what are you doing? And recognizing the areas that God is trying to grow you. That's really cool. Kind of one of the things that was highlighted as you were talking was, you know, how you said that, underneath the surface, all of these emotions were coming up and you wanted to be able to share, but you wanted to put your best face forward. And I feel like that's kind of the direction that it seems like society is trying to take us right now, with, you know, constant masking our kids. Is they're learning how to, you know, put their best face forward, but not really share what's going on underneath. And so I think that's one of the parts of the journey that you're going through, Zach, that is going to be helpful in leading our kids and leading other people to learn how to process the emotions that we have, and being able to be fully human, because emotions are part of our humanity, and God gave us emotions, and he wants us to be able to love and be able to experience different emotions as part of our humanity. So I think that's neat that God is actually making you more human, and he's showing you the ways that your emotions are really a part of your journey and a part of who you are. And I think that's so cool.
Yeah. And so a lot of it had to do with aligning myself with the Holy Spirit. You know, the church has done such an amazing job in just teaching us how to align ourselves with the Spirit and not to let our mind, our emotions, to take lead so much. And it makes sense, you know, like when we try to put our best foot forward, are we letting the Spirit lead us? Or are we trying to, you know, willfully trying to muster up this courage, you know, that we can only do so much with? And so during the series of interviews that I was on, it was the final one that the final interview that I went on that really broke me, but in a good way. Again, like going into the interview, I was just super nervous, and I just was kind of just tired of it. Like, I just wish I can get rid of that anxiety that I'm having. Why can't I just trust in God and just have peace? And so I prayed about that. I said, God, I just need peace. And I just need your presence here. And so what I did is I did something that I didn't do before in the interviews, which was completely surrender myself. Just come underneath the Spirit, like literally envisioning myself coming under him. And just kind of be at that place and sitting there. And what was amazing to me was that I was able to kind of let the Holy Spirit come in and lead me with peace. You know, just there's something about letting go of, you know, your own willpower. That allows the Holy Spirit to come in and just take over. And I've never experienced that before until that moment. Where, okay, just a few minutes before going into my interview, like, that's where I'm going to position myself. And then, you know, this interview was a pretty big deal. Like, it was a pretty big, you know, company that I never thought of myself being in. And it was like a 3-hour long interview. Mm. I had to do a presentation. You know, I would have been an emotional wreck if it was just up to me. Mm. But I trusted that God wanted me there for a reason. I trusted that he aligned and purposely had this interview set up for me. All I had to do was just trust him in his process. And so I went in. I nailed it. Even though I didn't get the job, I nailed it. Inside of me, I felt so victorious. Mm. Like, I felt like I accomplished something huge with God. Because at the end of the interview, I closed my laptop thinking, wow, like, I just did that. And I wasn't nervous. Mm. I wasn't anxious. I was, you know, where normally there would be anxiety, I just had peace. I had confidence. I was able to be honest with, like, what I was feeling. Like, if they had asked me a question about something about me, I was able to kind of clearly articulate that. And, you know, as a designer, like, I can articulate things in pictures, but to be able to articulate my emotions, that's something that was unknown to me still. And so to be able to do that was, you know, really a miracle for me. And so what I did is I closed my laptop and I just went into prayer, just thanking God, like, wow, that was amazing, God. Like, that was something else. And so I was thanking him, and I also just went into just worship, listening to music. And, you know, a few songs came up that where I felt like God was saying, you know, I think it was a song by Stephanie Gretzinger, you know, You're My Hero, I think was the title of the song. But, you know, it says, I was meant to fly, but not this way. I felt like I was trying to be my own hero. Mm. I was trying to be this and that, but God had a different vision of that. And I think that's where I was like, okay, you know, God sees me totally different than I see myself. Mm. I may not be telling myself that I have value in me. I might not be telling myself that this is who I am, because I think I do that on a daily basis. And I think that's why it's so important to be in the Word, right? To do your devotionals and read the Bibles, because our own minds will just kind of take over and say who we are. And so, you know, fast forward, I didn't get the job, but I did get a lot out of God and who he said I was. So that was kind of a neat experience, you know, for God to be, you know, highlighting that about myself.
Yeah. And it's really neat to me, Sack, in terms of the timing of all this whole thing of you coming onto the show right now and some of the things that we're talking about. And I wanted to affirm the growth that I've seen in you and how you're able to see yourself more the way that God sees you than ever before. I have the privilege of working with you for the past few years with Ahava. And I remember when you first came in, just the way that you saw yourself was really not in alignment with how God sees you. And especially coming off of the previous workplace that you were in and just some of the situations that you're put in. I remember you sharing about how, whether it was feeling defeated or feeling not worth very much, or just the way that they would talk to you and how that was just hurting your sense of self and self-worth. And to see where you are now, it's neat because so a situation happened this past week where Sack called me about a project that she's been working on recently and how there were some really last minute changes that were pretty major changes. And so it was neat as we were processing it together, just how, you saw yourself in such a different place now, years later, than you did when you first started. Can you share with us a little bit about some of those shifts? Because I think it really plays into what God's been highlighting to you recently, even in this part of the journey.
Yeah. Yeah, so as a graphic artist, you know, you work with a client, you work with a project, and there's a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. Rarely do you ever get to start and finish your project with your own input. You know, like you want it to look a certain way, a client is going to take it a different way, and they're going to have their input and they're going to say, I don't like it, even though, you know, I wish they wouldn't have chosen that path, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I, as a designer, I always, they always pick the one that I hate.
One.
Yeah, the one that I don't like. So I totally understand what that feels like.
Yeah. And so I think that's always going to be somewhat of a struggle for a designer, is that they're going to have to be okay and letting go that, you know, not every design that you put out there is going to be liked or chosen. And it's not on you. It's really not something that is about you. Even though, you know, a graphic artist, you know, a lot of it has to do with performance, because you do put out your work out there and they pick and choose what you like. And so over the years, you know, I've kind of learned how to handle that. I can take in criticism. But I think as I'm growing with God, you know, I'm able to kind of take in that input and give him back, you know, my feedback as well, because I'm not just going to let it go and say, are you sure? You sure you want to go with that design? Because a lot of times it's, you know, the clients and their emotions and what's stirring in them that makes them go one way or the other. For me, in this particular design that you're talking about, you know, I did have to call you. I did call you up and text you and say, hey, can you talk? Because I needed to process this. It was a shift in a design that I wasn't expecting. But at the same time, I felt like I had a duty to share what I was feeling to my client and say, you know, this is a little shocking to me right now. Can you tell me what's going on, you know, inside, you know, your thinking, behind your thinking? And, you know, I think in the end, what AHAVA stands for, which is, you know, love your design. And we want our clients to walk away loving their design. And, you know, I was able to kind of share my, what I was feeling to the client, saying, this is kind of a big, turn. I am walking alongside of you so that we can, you know, achieve this goal that we both have, which is, you know, to reach, you know, a big, you know, group of people that we can make an impact on. And so, you know, I was able to kind of share my emotion or what I was feeling in that. And we were able to process it together. And in the end, I was able to kind of encourage her, encourage this my client, and just saying, okay, this is still a good path, you know. I might not like the process, but at the same time, I said my part. Like, I was able to express what I was feeling. And I think after that, you just kind of have to let it go. I can't hold on to it.
Yeah, so when you texted me and when we were talking over the phone about this whole situation, I thought it was neat. Some of the, just the ways that you were processing it differently was so, I thought it was really cool. So one of the things that you had brought up was that you wanted to use Kylo and some of the principles in Kylo that you had learned.
I love Kylo.
So that you could be able to continue to have a good relationship with the client at the same time, and being able to, you know, not build a wall between you because you're trying to hold in your emotions or hold in your feelings, but being able just to share how you're feeling and then how that has been received. And, you know, one of the neat things that you had shared with me after the fact was that things are back to normal between you and the client, where in the past it might have created a wall and there might be some tension or things might feel weird because of the situation. But in this sense, the relationship was restored and things, you're able to move together and walk to continue to walk together in this. And so I thought that part was really cool, how you're trying to use some of the things that you've learned through Kylo. It also brought to mind a story that I heard from Pastor Dean about, he talked about when you get a flat tire and you get a hole in your tire, and how when you get a hole in your tire, what you do is you pump it up and you put it underwater, And when you put it underwater, you're able to see where the hole is. Mm-hmm. And then after you take it out of the water, you can patch the hole, but then you need to put it underwater again to be able to recognize that the hole's not a hole anymore, that it's been patched and it's been healed. And so that kind of came to mind as we were discussing this and how you're processing this whole situation very differently than you had before. And it just made me feel like, wow, God has really done a big work in you, Zach. And this is just revealing the healing and the wholeness that you have now, because you're able to process this in a much healthier way, where you're able to affirm your value, affirm your sense of self-worth, and being able to continue to see yourself the way that God sees you in this situation, in a way that you wouldn't have before. And so that was so cool to see you process through that whole journey.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning process. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's, I think when it comes to changing your mindset, it's a lot harder than you think. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just on a dime just switch out what you're feeling and just be okay with it. You know, I think on the exterior we can show that, you know, we're okay with it, but mm-hmm. on the inside, you know, we're hurting, and not a lot of people see that. But you know, you're the one that's dealing with it, and you kind of have to be responsible with what you're feeling and mm-hmm. what your emotions are doing to you. Because then, you know, whatever you're feeling and whatever is being stirred up, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
Eventually. I think for me, because I'm more passive, I'm, you know, I don't really express things too much, too loudly. I'll keep it in. I'll keep it in for a really long time. And then suddenly, boom, like out of nowhere, it'll show up. And I don't want that anymore. You know, I want to be responsible with what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. If that means I need to tell someone this is what I'm feeling, or if there's certain boundaries I need to put around me where I need to like tell myself, okay, I think this is beyond what you can handle. This just, okay, take it back a notch. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a gauge, a temperature gauge that we're, you know, we kind of need to learn how to, you know, raise or lower.
Yeah.
And when we need to.
Yeah. And I think that picture that you gave earlier of you coming under and into alignment with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I feel like that was so significant in some of this healing that you've been going through and some of the ways that God has been leading you, is that, you know, once you came under alignment with the Holy Spirit and came under him, then you're under his protection, and then you're able to verbalize how you're feeling in a way that you feel safe to be able to verbalize it.
Right. It's so important, because we're just so used to being in this place, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's why I, you know, the reframing and the remodeling of the mindset is, it takes time, and mm-hmm. to allow yourself time to heal, reflect on past hurts, and to, you know, how you go about navigating, you know, how you deal with this is really important. And I think Catalyst has been doing such a good job mm-hmm. in navigating, helping us have the tools to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, a small group is a great place where you can, you know, process that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have so many chances to put out your story or your testimony. You know, I think a lot of us are reserved in what we want to share, but having that courage is just one step, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a small story, you know, like you got to begin that step in processing things. Otherwise, you're just going to get comfortable, you know, in where you are. And, maybe we're going to continue to, you know, keep our exterior, the platform where you can make the change, but not, you know, changing on the inside. Mm. And so I just encourage anybody who is trying to process this that, you know, there's a lot of good that God has in us that God, I feel like, is trying to reveal. Mm. And, you know, this is a new me that I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know myself right now. Like, I'm learning who I am for the first time. And it's me falling in love with me. It's like who God has created me to be. And that's actually a wonderful thing, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to walk outside and say, hey, I, you know, this is kind of neat about myself. Like, I want to put this out there for people to know. Mm-hmm. I value myself. Mm-hmm. And that's worth celebrating because that's who God has intended us to be and has created us to be.
Wow. I'm just amazed, Zach, because I remember, you know, when you first started working at Hove, I remember the first time you came to Catalyst and just seeing how God has shifted you and how God has grown you. Like, you're a totally different person. And I think that's such a cool God story. And I think that's one of the things that God has been highlighting through some of the recent guests is just taking that one step, like taking that first step to whether it's seek healing or to take that first step into what God might be calling us into. And that's such a big thing, is just taking that first step. And that first step, a lot of times, is the hardest one, but God is faithful. And when we take that first step, God honors that. And God will be the one to continue to lead us and continue to bring the healing that we're searching for. So Zach, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you on right now was because we just had on our last episode, we had Michelle Okimura.
Right.
And she came on to talk about Explicit Movement and Brave and Beautiful. And you are the lead designer on Brave and Beautiful.
Yes.
And so I wanted you to share a little bit, because I wanted us to highlight Brave and Beautiful over these last few episodes, because I think it's going to be such a world changer in regards to helping to prevent people and young girls especially from entering the sex trafficking industry. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight with you, Zach, is that when we would talk about what you're doing with Brave and Beautiful, a lot of times you would say, I'm doing a great work, but I feel like God is doing a great work in me as I'm designing and as I'm reading the articles. So can you share a little bit about your journey with Brave and Beautiful?
Yeah. I shared this with the church a while back. You know, I think there's the journey that I was on with the project, and then there was, it kind of slowly shifted into it becoming a personal journey for myself. But I think starting off at the very beginning, it was, you know, like a meeting with Michelle. I was on a phone call with her, and I had worked on a project with her prior, the 21 Day Journal, that it came out beautifully. You know, I thought we worked well together. And so I was like excited to work on, you know, another project with her. We started off by, okay, what should we title? What should we name this magazine or this book? How should we target these young girls and, middle school to high school girls? How can we engage them to read this book? Because everything is social media now with young girls, and whether or not they would pick up a magazine or not, we weren't sure. We were kind of just looking at it from all sides. And then as we were kind of developing this and crafting this, you know, we thought, okay, it's just going to be one book. It's going to be the first part of it is going to just be about the book, equipping young girls and who they are, raising, you know, just confidence in girls. Cause you know, I think it's really important to be able to build up confidence in young girls. At any age, really, to be able to like navigate those emotions that are coming up, in different situations. How do you navigate through that? And so the first part of, you know, the magazine or the book, we call it the magazine journal. We were like, are we going to call this a magazine? Are we going to call this a book?
I know originally you said it was magazine. And then when you told me it was 250 pages, I was like, oh my gosh, what kind of magazine is that?
So it was going to be two parts. It was going to be the Brave and Beautiful. And then there was on the other side, when you turn the book around, it was going to also reveal the dark truth about sex trafficking, because, you know, in the end, we wanted them to be equipped with the tools that they needed to not become a victim of sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And so it was important for Michelle to reveal the truths, like, this is what's happening outside. This is what people are going to do. This is what's happening inside of, in your community. This is what's happening even in churches, which is crazy. And so, you know, as we were putting that together, you know, we realize, okay, 280 pages is a lot for a book. I don't know if they're going to actually soak in every word that is being spoken. And, you know, we have a lot of contributors to this, writers. And so we really felt that the girls needed to take in everything and soak it in. And so let's break it up into four series. Mm-hmm. And so there's now currently the trajectory is that we're going to have volume 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that doesn't change. but the first three series really just kind of talks about who she is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the chapter titles start with, she is brave and beautiful. She arises. Mm-hmm. She cries. She is creative. All these things that touches on, you know, who we are as a, you know, young girl. And so, yeah, that kind of, I feel like Brave and Beautiful is mostly made up of just confidence building. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of good things that God has put in us. Kind of like what I'm talking about, you know, me valuing myself.
Mm-hmm.
We need to educate the young girls and how they need to see themselves at an early age. And, you know, if you haven't gone through a book like this, you know, it's never too late to pick mm-hmm. up this book and start reading about, you know, how we go about seeing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
how God sees us, you know, with the God lenses. And so, yeah, that's kind of part of the journey. And then now we're close to launching it
mm-hmm.
and really excited that this is coming out and that it's, you know, we're talking about how we're going to package it. But we finished the magazine. I think we're trying to figure out the marketing and the fundraising mm-hmm. part. You know, I think that's a huge part because printing these magazines, there's a lot of overhead cost on it. So currently Michelle is going out there with the samples that we've already printed. Just trying to get attention from all the pastors and leaders.
Yeah, so it's neat how God has used you in creating this awesome magazine, but then also used the magazine to help you to see yourself the way that God sees you. And I think that's going to be so good as more and more people are picking up this magazine, being able to come into alignment with seeing themselves how God sees them. And I think that's one of the main things that God is going to do with this book is that he's going to help girls to be in alignment mm-hmm. with how he made them. And that's so like world changing, I believe, because one, it's going to help prevent people from going into the sex trafficking, but it's also going to help young girls to really receive what God has for them in a new way because they're able to see themselves the way that God sees them.
Mm-hmm. And for a young girl to value themselves mm-hmm. and to say, you know, in the future when they find a husband, not that they would stand and say, you know, this is who I am and you can't change me. It's more like, you know, like preventing themselves from being targeted as this young girl doesn't have a strong identity mm-hmm. and easily lured in mm-hmm. to, from some random person who is going to speak truth in them. You know, we would rather, of course, have them see who they are in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, someone's going to come in and, you know, sweep her off her feet saying, this is who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Zach, just wanted to say thanks for joining us on the show today. Just really appreciated your time. And I always appreciate you. And just it's neat to see how God has really been shifting and growing and you being able to express and share the ways that God has been working in you. That's so neat. So thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So for all of you listening out there, if you are interested in Brave and Beautiful, check out their website,
braveandbeautiful.world.
Oh, braveandbeautiful.world. I always get that one messed up. Braveandbeautiful.world. And you can also check out their Instagram and Facebook, right?
Yes.
So until next time, let's go, Jesus!
Woohoo! Go, God!
Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.